So somebody help me out. We're talking about frequency. There's only two frequencies. You know what? Say it like this, like AM and FM. There's the kingdom of God. Somebody say the kingdom of God. And that's also called the kingdom of light. And how many know there's a kingdom of darkness? Okay. And those are real. Well, I think everything is good. All right, you're deceived. There's a kingdom of light and there is a kingdom of darkness. And those things are real. So we're talking about, and you come over to this kingdom of light, and this kingdom of light, there's blessings. There's all kinds of blessings. Your life is going to be better. The more God you have in your life, the more you're going to be in this kingdom, and the better your life is going to be. The less God you have in your life, the more you're going to be in the kingdom of darkness. And you won't even know till after, you know, how many have made some choices in your life and you didn't know till after, like 4 months after you recognize, oh my goodness, I made a bad choice. You know, your boyfriend's hitting on your girlfriend. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Pastor, what are you talking about? You know what I'm talking about. That's what you get for going out with somebody who has no character. Amen? And so, you know what? What is that about? It's about, yeah, but he asked me out. Yeah, but tell him no. I said, yeah, but tell him no. No, no, no. You're not deserving of my time. You're not deserving of my energy. You're not deserving of my body. Oh, no, 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 no. I only give my body away. My body is sanctified to my husband. Not the person I've been dating for 3 weeks. Wow, it got quiet in here, huh? Hey, how many know we need some real medicine to help us in life? Amen. How many want a pastor going to tell you what's going to help you? Amen. Well, no, that's not what I heard, in junior high. I know. That's not what I heard in high school. It's not what I heard. Well, you know what? I know. And those bad choices causes you to have a bad life. But you can be disciplined and wait for that prince. He's going to come. And, you know, he's got some character. You know, he's not trying to get you in bed. Amen. You're not having to. It's like, man, come home from a date. Well, I'm so tired because you've been, working so hard. Amen. No, man. That needs to be the last date you dated that. The last date, you don't get a second date. Amen. I don't need to be fighting you on the first date like this. This is craziness. You know what I mean? Maybe you're somebody else's, but you're not mine. I'm not looking for that. Okay. That's just one thing, but there are all kinds of things where you need to make good choices. And what I'm teaching you is how to get into hearing into this God frequency. Amen. So who can tell me what's the first thing we taught on? How do you get in God frequency? Daniel, how do we get in the God frequency? Obedience. Amen. Good, good, good. How many know what's the second thing going to get you in? So let's just stop. We'll just talk about obedience. So you know what? Have you ever, the Bible says, in his light we see light. So you start being obedient and all of a sudden you're like, wow, I'm in a good place. And you recognize, wow, I'm in a good place. Why? Because you're obedient to do what God asks you to do. And there's more illumination to what you need. Why? Because you're being obedient to God. Has anybody ever been there? Okay. Then last week, what did we talk about last week? What else gets us into that? What else gets us in praise? Somebody say praise. Okay. And how many were inspired with me singing last week? Okay, let me try that again. It was a weak sister response. How many were inspired by my singing last week? Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many at least made you smile? At least I made you smile. At minimum, yeah, okay. But how many recognize what we taught, that there's this reality that if I will praise God, that I can be in the midst of just the world and the trashiness of the world, but in a short period of time by just singing, you know what I mean? I mean, I'm going to do that. This week, you know, today I'm going to do that. And I'm going to just think about, oh, my goodness, what is God? What is Jesus? Jesus is my healer, big and small. See, what is that? It's sucking me into righteousness, sucking me into the right frequency. Does that make sense? So how many believe that? How many believe our praise can suck us in the right place? How many did that this week? How many of you, you're like in your living room, you're like, praise him, I just want to live my... Come on, how many did that? Okay, how many did that? How many got a song in your heart today? How many have a song in your heart today? No, raise your hand if you have a song in your heart today. Okay, wait a minute, whoa. How many were in the first service? How many were not in the first service? See, you don't know where we're going. Okay. So you know what I believe, George? I believe, Pastor George, I believe that that people of God should be people of praise. Amen. So who's going to, yeah? Last week was, thank you, my friend. Thank you, my friend. Amen. So I'm asking, who's got a song of praise this morning? Who's got a song of praise this morning? Now, don't raise your hand if you're not going to sing in front of us all. See, look, her hand's still up. I don't intend. Stand up and sing a song of praise for us.
It's actually my praise song for the week. So it's by Elevation Worship, and it goes, oh, come to the altar. Your Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Woo! Come on, who's got a praise today? I'm asking, who's got a praise today? You got a praise now? You still got a praise? Come on. How many know the praise should be right there? Amen. Oh, no. God's people ought to praise. Amen. Who's got a praise today? Who's got a praise today? Who's got a praise today? Laura, what's your praise?
Yeah. You were praying I was going to pick you?
Not going to pick me. In and out of season, I make up my own songs. And so, Jesus, the love of my soul, Jesus, I'll never let you go, Jesus. Oh, don't let me go, Jesus, the lover of my soul.
Praise the Lord. Who's got a praise on your lips? Come on, who's got, Jonathan, help us out. Bless us out, Jonathan. Man of God. Now watch what's happened. Watch. Tell me if they're not pulling us into a frequency. Pulling us out of that, you know what, whatever that mire is, mess is, depression. Or, I mean, you know, man, go ahead.
One that comes to mind a lot for me is... God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh, God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, And I will learn to walk in your ways, and step by step you lead me, and I will follow you all of my days.
Amen. Amen. See, and why am I doing that? Here's why. Because I don't want just us to learn something here and not learn it here. Where we learn something, but it doesn't, you know what? Our learning something should affect our behavior when we get home. And so what I'm telling you, praise will suck you into the right frequency. Just be so quick to do it. Obedience will suck you in the right. Oh, I see. You know, how many ever it's been hard to be obedient? Something that God asking you, man, that's hard. But watch this. But after you do it, you see the wisdom in it, and you're thinking, oh, man, that should have been an easy thing for me to do. Does that make sense? What happened? It sucks. Now you're sucked into what you know what's right to do. Amen. Amen. So today, it's such an obvious thing in this series, but I'm going to preach it anyway because it needs to be preached. The importance of praying to God. Prayer will bring you into God's frequency. And what I don't want to preach it from a, I really never want to preach this way. I hope I never do, and I try very hard not to. But I never want to preach from a self-righteous position. I never want to preach from a condemning position. You know what I mean? I am up here, I worship, I praise God, and you don't. You know what I mean? I'm obedient and you're not. You know what? I pray and you don't. No, how many of you know? No, we all have to. How many know we all struggle with priorities? Putting our struggles, you know, and we all are in this process of how many ever cleaned up your garage? Oh, please, somebody else get their hand up. Somebody. Okay. How many ever cleaned your garage? And for many of you, right, I won't ask you who, but many of you, your garage is a mess right now. How many ever cleaned up your garage and it's like, oh, it's so messy? You know, okay, what am I saying? Many times in life, that's how life is. We get our things prioritized correctly, and then we have to go back and do it again. Okay, so that's with me too. But I also try very diligently not to, a good friend of mine taught me this. He said, preach in what you're walking in. In other words, you know what? Not that you're walking in it perfectly, but if I'm asking you to pray, I should pray. If I'm asking you to praise, I should praise. If I'm asking you to be obedient, I should be obedient. Does this make sense? But so I'm going to talk about prayer today, and here's the reality. For many people, just as many people are here, probably we have some people, and I don't know who, but we probably have some people here who didn't pray very much. Don't raise your hand. Didn't pray very much last week. Maybe last month. Maybe this whole year. You know what I mean? If you added up all your prayer time, it wouldn't be very much. How many have a phone? You have one of those phones, and in your phone, you can look and see, you know what, how much time you spent on the internet, how much time you spent, you know what, on your news feed, how much time you spent. How many have a phone like that? You can look and very quickly see, oh, what's really going on. Amen. I'm just asking, if we looked at our week, and prayer was in orange, how much orange would we have? How many pray over your food? How many pray over your food? You know, praise God. But how many know we should pray more than just over our food? Oh, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. And by the way, don't stop praying over your food. Amen. You know why you pray I don't even know why I pray over my food. Do you know why you pray over your food? One, you pray over your food to be grateful for what God has given you. But two, you pray over your food to protect yourself because there could be some funky enzyme in that, you know, whatever, you know what, taquito that you're eating today. right? Or that, you know what? I mean, you know, if you're eating at Tommy's, you better pray over your food. No, that's kind of negative. But I'm just saying, you know what? That's just kind of negative. But how many know we're praying? You know what? No. This isn't just something we're doing. No, Father, thank you. First of all, let me be grateful for everything. Let me not just take for granted the food that I have today, this meal that I have. I'm so grateful. Learn to be a grateful person for everything. But then, God, thank you. Bless this food. If there's anything funky, like zap the funk out of it. Why? Zap the funk out of it. Okay, I don't need. That's a prayer? Yeah, amen. God, zap the funk out of it. Keep the flavor, but zap the funk. Okay. But watch this. But here's the thing. You know what? Why? Because I'm going to eat this in a minute. And I don't have time to you know what, to be sick. No. Sickness is not, listen to me, sickness. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, you know what? If you drink deadly poison or drink poison or step on a scorpion, a deadly scorpion, amen? How many know, you know what? No. We're not like the world. This is the Bible, amen? This is Jesus speaking to us. This isn't just some fairy tale. This is real. Father, zap the funk out of this food because I'm going to eat it. Nourish it to my body. Amen. But how many know our prayer should be more than just our praying for our food? And what I don't want to do is I don't want to come off condemning, but I do want us to look at our life right now, look at our week right now, look at our month right now, maybe look at our year right now, and maybe if some of you looked at that, you'd recognize, man, I spend a lot of time working out, but I don't spend a lot of time in prayer. You know, Paul wrote this, he said, bodily discipline. That's staying in shape. And I'm not saying stay in shape. Keep your body in shape. Amen? Amen? Amen. Okay, don't neglect your body. But he says, that's of little profit. How many know, even if you're Jack LaLanne, you're going to live till, you know, somebody look it up. Well, when did Jack LaLanne die? You know what I mean? Somebody look, Jack, you don't know who? Yeah, that's somebody young says who? Jack LaLanne? Jack LaLanne was this fitness guy, and he could do like 1,000 sit-ups when he was 72. So even if you don't stay alive until Jack LaLanne, how many know that's nothing compared to what's going to happen in heaven? Okay. Okay, so you're real smart. 97. Okay. I mean, no, that's good. Why? And we should live till we're 97. Amen? 120. That's what I'm believing for. Amen? But how many know it's what's more important is for us to be focused on our spiritual health? I'm just telling you what the Bible says. More important. Somebody say more important. More important. Why? Because the Bible says that'll benefit you here and it'll benefit you after. So let me just throw some things out that my goal is to motivate you to pray tomorrow morning. That's my assignment, is to motivate you. Somebody say motivate you. Motivate. Okay. Where you're like, man, I'm going to pray tomorrow. And you're not going to just say, oh, I'm praying. You are going to pray tomorrow because you've been so encouraged that you recognize, man, this is too valuable for me to miss out on. I'm not going to miss out on the benefits. So let's go over some of the benefits of prayer. Okay. Let me first just go to a very famous passage that you guys should know. Second Chronicles says this, if my people who are called on my name will humble themselves and pray. Humble themselves and what? I'll show you in a minute the correlation between humbling yourself and praying. But there's a correlation there. Everybody say, humble yourself and pray. Watch this. Humble yourself and pray. And seek my face and turn from your wicked ways. then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. How many know we have a land that needs to be healed? How many know we have a land that needs to be healed? And so I want to say right up to you, you know what, listen, America is we can fix America. Now listen to me very carefully. We can fix America. How many have heard some politicians lately and you're like, oh my goodness, if we do that, that will be the absolute worst thing for our country. I mean, they are saying some things that are absolutely, will be very, very, very bad for our country. And here's what I'm saying. Why? Because they don't have the answer. Listen, a politician isn't going to fix our mess. The church is going to fix our mess. We are the light of the world. We're the ones who are going to pull this country, you know, if the country is going to be pulled out of the mess, of the spiral that we're going in. If somebody's going to pull it out, it's not going to be a politician. It's going to be you and I praying, humbling ourselves, purifying our own lives, and then being an example to other. God's going to see it, and revival's going to come to America. Amen. How many believe that's possible? Well, the Bible says possible. I believe it. James says this. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray. Somebody say pray. For one another that you might be healed. Then it says this. The effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth what? Much. Praying makes, another version says, praying makes a big difference. It makes a big difference. So, and I believe that many times we just don't understand how powerful prayer is. You know what I mean? Let me ask you this. How many ever eat like you woke up in the morning and you decided you're going to be healthy and you like ate like a wheatgrass shake in the morning? You know what? And you ate 4 jelly donuts after, you know, in the afternoon. I'm asking you. You know what? Wheatgrass in the morning, by the afternoon you had 4, maybe you're, no, not 4. Pastor, just 3, okay? Whatever, 3 jelly donuts. You know, can I tell you what? That is your pastor. That's a balanced diet. That's a balanced diet. That is not a balanced diet. Listen, a balanced diet isn't Cheetos and a Diet Coke. I'm just saying, that is not a balanced diet. But here's what I'm saying. You know what? I think many times the reason why we don't understand why prayer is effective, and I'm not trying to be negative, but I'm trying to be real, is because we have so little prayer in the church. Remember what Paul teaches us? If you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. But if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap what? Sparingly. Maybe we think prayer is ineffective because there's been so much sparing prayer that's taking place in the church. Maybe it's just a guess. No, it's not a guess. It's an educated guess by the word God. But perhaps James is right. How many pick James? Okay. Perhaps your assessment, here, let's look at our phones again, our imaginary phones, of how much praying we're doing. Maybe the reason why we're not effective could be because there's so little prayer going taking place. Does that make sense? All right. Now, can I motivate? Now, let me motivate you. Actually, that should have motivated us too, right? Why? Because you don't have to get negative. That's negative. Well, just, it's a great opportunity. We can change. Look at your neighbor and say, you could turn it around. No, you didn't say it like me. I said, you could turn it around. Don't just, you have to do the inflection. It's way funner. It's just funner. Okay, it's just funner. Okay, so here's my first point. I'll go over some points real quickly. Okay, won't keep you too long today. Number one. Just siphoning off towards God will get his attention. Somebody say siphoning off. Just you saying, God, I'm giving you 10 minutes tomorrow morning. If you would just do that, here's what you're going to do. You're going to, watch this, all eyes up here. You're going to have God's attention. What's up? Why? Because here's the thing. Because you mean everything to God. You mean everything to God. Watch, let me give you a couple passages that'll help you on this. You know this one. Watch this. Draw near to God, and what's going to happen? You up tomorrow morning? What do you want? I'm here. Why am I here? I'm here because you're here. You drew close to me, and do you get that? You don't want? Get a word picture. I don't know where you are. Where are you going to pray tomorrow? Look at your neighbor and tell them where you're going to be when you pray tomorrow. So I'm going to be in my bedroom. I'm going to be on a couch. I'm going to be, look at your neighbor, tell you where you're going to be. Pastor, you assume we're going to do that? I sure do. Tell them where you're going to pray. Okay, where did you say? Where did you say your hammock? Ooh, okay, that's a man of faith right there. Okay. We'll talk about that in a minute. But anyway, boom, you're in here. All of a sudden, watch it. All of a sudden, shoot. You got God's attention. Where are you going to be? Your bed. Oh, okay. I need to talk to you guys in a minute. Okay, the hammock's not good. Okay, but for now, well, I don't know, your bed's a good place. Okay, but anyway, watch it. You got it? Where are you going to be? Okay, let me just take a side note. I'll get back to the point, but we need to deal with this. Maybe you all are like better than me in your discipline. But when I pray in my bed, I don't pray, I snore. I'm just saying. You know what I mean? You know what? How many know we have to be practical with this stuff? Which is part of the problem. I'm not, this is going to sound negative towards you, but I don't mean it. You know what I mean? But that's part of the problem. We pray in our beds. And so no prayer gets done, but we just sleep in our beds. You know what I mean? We pray for 3 minutes, and if 15 minutes, we pray for 3 minutes, and we sleep for 12 minutes. And the Bible's talking about this fervent, prayer. Not this casual, no. Be more purposeful. When I started to pray, when I started getting convicted about praying, and I started changing my life, I cannot tell you how many times. Now, I'm going to talk to these three, but I recognize I'm talking to all y'all. Because some of you are going out to a chair that you take a nap in all the time. You don't go to that chair. I mean, you think about it. Where do you sleep? You sleep in your bed. Where do you sleep? You sleep in your bed. You know what? You probably sleep in the hammock. Right? This should not be a place, you know what I mean? And I learned this from a friend. You know what? I was listening to a preacher, and he said, you know what? When he first started praying, why? Because we're not disciplined. You know what I mean? We, spiritually, we got, anyway. So he said when he started praying, because what did he do? He prayed in his bed, and all he did was sleep. And then, ironic enough, then Satan comes and accuses you, because he's accused of the brethren. Man, you suck. All three of you suck. Because Pastor gave this awesome sermon, and you're just sleeping the whole time. You suck. Well, let's just get practical. You don't suck. You're awesome. But let's get a little bit smarter. Amen. So he had a bathtub. You know, in the bathtub, sometimes they have a little lip on it. And so he would stand on the lip. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my kids. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for my pastor. Thank you for my church. How many know, if you don't pay attention, he's going to jack up his head. Do you understand? See, how many know you're not going to be sleeping that? So, Pastor, is that what you did? No, I didn't do that. But I went out in the cold. It was the winter when I started doing this. And I had a jacket. I wasn't freezing, but I wasn't sleeping either. And I'd walk up and down the, we have a long driveway. And I would just walk up along the driveway. So, yeah, but Pastor, I remember you preaching. You said sweet when we were going to a sweet spot. You showed us that what do you call it, Tamara? Lounge. Chaise Lounge. You showed us, and you pray there. Yeah, but you know what? I don't sleep there. I pray there. It took me a long time of walking outside in the cold before I would sit down. Does that make sense? Now, let me go back. What was I saying? Oh, drawing. Thank you. Pick another place. Don't mean to be, I'm not trying to be, you know, lord over you, but my suggestion is pick another place. Can you pick another place right now? What? Okay, your bedroom. Standing up in your bedroom. All right. Okay. You got this? Whatever it is, you. All of a sudden, boom. Why? Here's why. Because when you draw close to God, God will draw close to you. Boom. Here, let me show you another passage. Let me show you another great scripture. Look at this. Guys, you have, because I put, it's 19, not 9. Go to 19. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 19. Look what it says. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth to show himself strong. Watch this. So important that we, listen to me, not just look at the promises of God, but watch how many are qualified. What's qualified? How many know if you go over to Tommy's, you how many know you can get a Tommy's burger today? But how many know there's a qualification for a Tommy's burger? Really? What's the qualification? You better have some money, amen? Did you get that text? I got that text because I'm on, imagine this, I'm on Tommy's mailing list. I don't know how I got on Tommy's mailing list, but I got an email that told me Tommy's was going to have burgers for 35 cents. Oh, I was in, amen? And you could get 5 burgers. How many know I was buying 5 burgers that day for 35 cents until I came and saw the line, amen? What'd you do, man? I went to In-N-Out. I said, I'm not waiting for 3.5 hours to save, you know. So anyway, here's my point. Look at the qualification here. Look at the qualification. You know what? It doesn't say that God is strong on everyone's behalf. It says that God is strong on whose behalf? Shows himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. You show me someone who's going to draw close to God, and I'll show you a God who'll draw close to you. You show me somebody who's drawing close to God, and I'll show you someone who's loyal. And to that person who's loyal, God is going to say, I'm going to be strong for you. I'm going to be strong for you. Amen? Number one, recognize if you'll wake up tomorrow 15 minutes early and spend 15 minutes with God, number one, understand you're going to have God's attention. Number two, watch this. Number two, understand this. If you get up in the morning and spend time with God, I just wrote like this, you are turning off the noise. You say, I don't even get your turning off your noise. There is a huge advantage of turning off noise. There is a huge advantage of just turning off noise. Simply, I'll prove it to you in a minute. Simply by turning off noise, you can hear God better. You can hear God. Now watch this. Let's qualify some things. The noise that you listen to, how many of you analyze it? I won't judge your own papers. But most people, even people who go to church, most of the noise they listen to is junk intake. It's trash. It's it might be disguised as entertainment, but it's entertainment developed. It's going to sound bad, but I don't mean it bad. But I mean it honest. It's developed by the ungodly. Ungodly producers, ungodly writers, ungodly actors. Does this make sense? They just don't know God. They don't believe in God. And but they are producing much of the stuff that you're listening to. Wow, it got real quiet. And so simply by turning off all that secular humanism, Darwinistic, all this stuff, sexually charged, any sex is okay, you know, stuff, you're going to put yourself in a better position. And there's something, just like, you know, the Bible says that no one's going to have an excuse. Do you know why no one's going to have an excuse before God? Do you know why no one's going to have an excuse before God? Because God speaks to them in the sunshine, in the moonlight. You ever seen the moon where it's kind of low and huge? And you go outside, and what do you say? You walk this and you go, you know what that is? That's like, God's real. Look at that. Even if you don't know what that is, that's what that is. It's God shouting, saying, I'm real. That didn't happen, you know, through 38 billion years of evolution. That happened because I did that. Let me just take 30 seconds about evolution. Evolution is non-scientific. I'm going to say this again. Oh, we're, you know, there's a Christianity, and then there's a smart scientific people. No. Evolution is unscientific. Evolution goes against the second law of thermodynamics. Do you know this? Do you know what the second law of thermodynamics is? This is just basic. This isn't in vast. This is just basic, science. And what does that say? It says that things in the universe don't go from chaos to organized. They go from organized to more chaotic. You don't believe me? Just look in your garage. Functioning perfectly. Just look at a can. Just put a brand new can of beans. You know, eat the beans and put the can out there. And years, you ever been like somewhere, sometimes, you know what, we'll be up here in the attic over there when they built 1952 or something, and we'll see a can of beans. We're like, whoa, trip out on this. Right? Or a Coke can or something. But just whatever, 40-something years, it's already all crusty. That moon didn't happen by accident. God put that moon up there. You know what? The world is complete order. Complete order. God did that. Amen. So you get in that silence, and you know what you can hear? You can hear God. God will speak in that silence. What are you saying? You're saying to everything else, not important, not important, not important, not important. You ever go out to eat with somebody? You know what I mean? And you're thinking you're going out to eat with them, but you're not going out to eat with them. You're going out to eat with them and their 138 friends on Facebook. Do you know what I'm saying? Why? Because they got their phone right there, and they're like, like, huh? Right? When you cut everything off, here's what you're going to do. You're going to say, God, you're the only thing that's important to me. And you're going to hear from God. Trust me, you're going to hear from God. Because God loves it when you'll listen to him. And he'll speak to you. He'll speak to you. Matter of fact, I believe to a great extent, he's speaking to you now. You just can't hear him because you got too much other stuff going on. Amen. But if you cut that stuff off tomorrow morning, you know what? I believe this. I'm going to speak this prophetically. Tomorrow morning, how many know How many know if you do the right thing, there's good consequences for doing the right thing? I'm going to say this prophetically to you. For those of you who are going to spend, I don't want to make it a time, I'll just make it 15 minutes, but it could be 20 or 30, whatever it is. But for those of you who are going to spend time with God, you know what, tomorrow, you're going to hear God speak to you. You're going to go, wow. He's going to remind you. For some of you, he's going to remind you, hey, you need to call your mom. You're going to call your mom, and she's going to go, I can't believe you called me. I was going through this, and I just need some of it. And then you're gonna go like this. You're gonna hear me. See, Pastor told you that was gonna happen. It's gonna happen. Yeah. Number three. Somebody say number three.
Number three.
Connecting with the one who knows everything. How many know God knows everything? How many know God knows everything? The Bible says he knows the beginning from the end. Connecting with the person who knows everything, here's what happens, is really smart. How many know if I had some more lines, I'd add some more reallys there? Why? Because God knows the beginning from the end. There's a passage of scripture, or we'll turn to it, Acts. We have it up here on the screen. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Look what it says. Now, when they had gone through Perugia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. So let me say, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit. So they are going through these regions, and then they desire to go to Asia and preach, but the Holy Spirit stopped them and said, mm-mm, I want you to go to Asia. See, here's what I'm saying. How many of you have sometimes been in a, how many of you have gotten a mess and you heard the Holy Spirit tell you not to do it, but you did it anyway? I'm not talking to you. But how many of you have been in a mess and you didn't even recognize you were making that mistake? I'm looking for hands now. And you right, I didn't even know that was going to be a mistake. Can I tell you what? Many times I believe that is a lack of listening to the Spirit of God. That he was trying to say something to you, but you were so busy that the cares of other things, man, just other stuff creeping in. Because how many know, you know what, you only have some degree of capacity to listen with. And there's something very valuable about saying, no, shh, I want to hear what God's saying. And these were very godly men. These were men of prayer. So it wasn't like, watch this, imagine. Yeah, has anybody ever done this? One time I did this. It was so embarrassed because I was over. I just met this family, and I wasn't familiar with the house at all. And they had this glass, and it was so clean. I walked right into it. How many ever did that? You know what I mean? It's so embarrassing. You know, it's like. You know, thank God we had this little girl, or she was like 12-year-old girl. She was over at our house. We had one of those sliding glass things, and you know what? And she ran into it, broke the glass. How many know that wasn't a good day? But well, okay, that was negative. We'll go back to just bouncing off the glass. Okay, so how many ever did just bounce off the glass? But you felt embarrassed. How many know that wasn't what happened? They went, let's go to Asia. Boom. Ooh, that must be the Holy Spirit glass. Watch this. That must be the Holy Spirit glass forbidding us to go. I mean, that's not what happened. No. They had the opportunity, but they heard the Holy Spirit say, don't go there. How many know? How many have ever overridden the Holy Spirit? Oh, let me try again. Okay, I know we can do much better than that. How many ever overrid the Holy Spirit? What's going on there? You know what? The Holy Spirit forbid you, but you just did it anyway. God doesn't prevent you. How many of his God ever, you know what? You're going to sin, you know what? And you know what? You're in the back seat of the car, you're in the back seat of the car, and all of a sudden you just got sucked into the front seat. Wow, what happened? Well, the Holy Spirit forbid me. No, how many know God doesn't work that way? Come on, God doesn't work that. You do whatever you do. The Holy Spirit forbid them by him speaking to them saying, don't go there. Now watch this. How many know that knowing the one who knows everything can keep you out of a lot of mess? Can keep you out of a lot of mess. I heard a story. I'll tell you about that story later. Anyway, it can keep you out of a lot of mess. But many times, can I tell you what's a lot of times the underlining problem of us not praying? It has to do with pride. It has to do with arrogance. Remember the Bible says, I heard this in a sermon yesterday, and this pastor said this. He said, prayer is the language of the poor. Prayer, write that down. Prayer is the language of the poor. Prayer is the language of the poor. And when he said that, it went off in my spirit. But I thought, okay, what's he talking about? Because he just said it just in him. Prayer is the language of the poor. And I thought, what's he talking about? Well, how many know he wasn't talking about poor financially? The Bible says, blesses the poor in spirit. What's the poor in spirit? See, let me tell you what the poor spirit is not. The poor spirit isn't the person who goes, man, I can't ever do it. You know, I'm just. That's not the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit is the person who, like Jesus, says, I can do nothing of myself. See, the poor in spirit aren't people that don't get things done. Matter of fact, you show me somebody who's poor in spirit, and I'll show you probably who's a spiritual, I'll show you somebody who's a spiritual giant. I'll show you somebody who's probably leading a lot of people, doing incredible things in the kingdom of God. They're poor in spirit because, not because they say they can't do anything, but because they say this, I can't do anything by myself. See, who is that? That was Jesus. Jesus said two times in John, of myself, I can do nothing. But how many know we're not by ourselves? See, let me go back to my point. My point is, prideful people don't pray. Humble people pray. Because humble people recognize they need God. Listen, we need to get, you know what? Humble yourself. Remember I told you I was going to connect it? Humble yourself and pray. Humble yourself and pray. Humble yourself and pray. Because somebody humbled will pray. Why? Because what are they thinking? They're thinking, man, I can't. You know what I mean? I can't do this. You know what? Like, you know that great theologian, you know what? MC Hammer, right? Right? We got to pray. 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 We got to pray just to make it today. That's a little old school for some of you. That's too old school. But theologically, absolutely true. We have to pray just to make it today. See, it's the arrogance that says I can get up, you know what? Have my coffee, you know what? Have my, you know what? You know, praise the Lord, amen. How many got time for Starbucks? Oh, see? Pastor, don't start. You know, when you start messing with my Starbucks, you cross the line. How many ever been in Starbucks line for longer than 10 minutes? Watch this. And you figured it out. You figured out you're going to be early to work so you can go buy Starbucks because that's what you're going to do. Listen, I'll, love y'all. That's arrogance. You don't need Starbucks. You just spend at least 15 minutes praying to hear from God. Because God will say, don't go there. Don't go there. No, no, no. Don't say that. Don't do that. Don't. Just 3 minutes ago, had a great illustration. God said, don't use that illustration. And you know what I thought? I thought, yeah, but I used that illustration first service. And he said, you know what he said? How many of God never changed? He said, don't use that illustration. Yeah, but I don't got to figure nothing out. All I got to be is obedient to hear from God and then do what he asked me to do. And what happens is we get so busy in our life and we have no time for God. You know what? You are really smart if you'll be willing to spend, you know what, some time with God. Why? Because he'll fill you in. He'll let you in. He'll tell you about stuff. He'll say, don't go there. Don't say that. He'll tell you, call your mom, example. Call your mom. Call, you know, get by, you know, buy somebody a donut, you know, today. I don't know why I'm buying a donut. You know what I mean? Like, ah. I was listening to a story the other day. There's a guy in church. Not this church, but another church. And the Holy Spirit, you know what, told him to give, financially give something to this lady. And this lady, whatever, she was, you know, four rows in front of him to the left. And he just, I was like, I don't even know that lady. That's so weird. You know what? And then he kind of recognized, oh my goodness, I forgot my wallet. Put his hand in his pocket and recognized, oh, I only have $5. How stupid. You know, God told me to give you $5. You know what I mean? So he just felt like, man, that's so dumb. That's so dumb. But the Holy Spirit just went, can I tell you what? The Holy Spirit will speak to us if we'll listen to him. Holy Spirit kept on saying, give her five bucks. I was like, okay. We need to just give up. Yeah. Be quick to give up. I like Abraham, how he got up early. You know what? Just did, no matter what God told him to do. Sacrifice your son. He was up early. That's the heart of God. He goes, gives her the $5. He says, I know you don't know me. I know this might come off a little weird, but I just feel like the Holy Spirit is telling me to give you this $5 bill. And as soon as he does that, she just starts weeping. Just tears just flowing down her cheeks. She says, you know what? I didn't have gas money. I had just enough gas money to come to church. But I didn't have enough gas money to come to church and go to work tomorrow. And the Holy Spirit said, don't worry about it, go to church. And she said, and the Holy Spirit said, don't worry about it, I'll take care of it. And she said, you're my take care of it. Can I tell you what? We have no idea how critical we are to the kingdom of God. And to just orchestrating. Man, imagine it with me, and you're part of this church, and a part of church, and tomorrow morning, in all our busyness, I know you're busy, I know you're doing important things, but we're just humble enough to say there's nothing more important than getting our assignment from God tomorrow. Watch this. And you get your assignment from God, because God will speak to you, and you get your assignment from God, and you get your assignment from God, and you get your assignment from God, and you, and the whole church, and all, just this church, just this service. Well, last service, we won't believe they'll be obedient to. But imagine two services, you know what? The church almost filled with all these people, and they're all getting their assignment with God. What do you think is going to happen in one day? Can you imagine all the God connections that are going to take place? All the assignments that now you're going to be faithful to do? Why? Because you know what the assignment is. Oh my goodness. That's a kind of army I want to be part of. Amen. I want to get my assignment from God tomorrow morning. Sometimes I feel like all the assignment that I get from God, this is a true story, all the assignment that I get from God is, man, Drew, I love you so much. I told the first service this, and I'll close with this. When I get up in the morning and I say, one of the first things I say is, God, I love you. And I hear him all the time say, Drew, I love you too. But can I tell you, and I'm doing this to entice you, but when he tells me I love you too, it's different. Let's say there's a 5-year-old little boy. You know what I mean? My dad used to say this. He said, when I was little, not when I got bigger, when I was little, he said, Drew, hit me in the stomach as hard as you want. You know, I need to tighten up. And, you know, 5 years old, you know, and my dad just smiled at me, you know what I mean? My dad used to take me in the kitchen. I'm just talking. Can I talk about my dad for a minute? Used to take me in the kitchen and say, Drew, come in the kitchen. I go in the kitchen. And he'd have those, whipping cream that comes out, shh, you know what I mean? And he'd say, open up your mouth. And I'd open up my mouth. And he'd just like it was a cup. He'd just fill my mouth up, you know what I mean? And it was like crazy because I'd be laughing so hard, you know what I mean? My dad was great, great man of God. But sometimes he'd say, you know, hit me as hard as you want. Boom. I think, man, my dad is so strong. How many know if I said to my dad in the same conversation, if I said, Dad, you hit me as hard as you want. You know. How many know that wouldn't be a good thing? Okay. That's what happens to me in the morning. When I tell my father, Dad, I love you. I'm talking about my heavenly father. Dad, I love you. And he tells me he loves me back, but it's not the same. It's this almost overwhelming peace comes. All of a sudden, I feel like I just feel okay. I feel like, oh, I'm not a dork anymore. You know what I mean? I feel like he gets me off of the island of misfit toys, you know, just automatically. Ooh, I'm off the island of misfit toys. I mean, no, God can do that instantaneously to you because he knows you're valuable. When he tells you you're valuable, you get up from that place and you say, no, I am valuable. God has told me how valuable I am. How many motivated to pray tomorrow? How many have I encouraged to pray tomorrow? How many will spend at least 10 minutes praying tomorrow? I'm asking. Now, before we dismiss, if you want to accept Jesus, we're only going to take a couple more minutes, but if you want to accept Jesus with every head bowed and every eyes closed, if you want to accept Jesus, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. You say, Pastor, I don't even know. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Who else? Yes, I see those hands. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Who else? I see that. Thank you. Anyone else? Let's say this. Say this after me. Jesus, come in my heart. Change me from the inside out. I'm tired of running my own life. I want to put you in charge. You're my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins. I love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you said that prayer, we believe that Jesus came in your heart. We're going to dismiss in a minute. When we dismiss, I'm just asking. Everybody will be up. Nobody's going to be looking around. You just make your way to the front. My wife will be. Tamara, are you going to be over here? Rebecca. Okay. Rebecca's going to be over here. She just wants to connect with you. We're not going to ask you to become some member. We just want to connect with you. We want to give you some materials to get you started off right. Okay? Now, one more thing and then we'll dismiss. If God spoke to you and you say, you know what, Pastor, I need to not just leave here. I need to confess that I've been prideful in running my own life and not listening to God. If that's you, before you leave, I want to pray with you. If that's you, raise up your hand. I want to pray with you. Father, you see these hands up. Who else? Who else? Father, you see these hands up. Our hands are up saying, we need more of you. We can't run off through the day without spending time getting your direction, your assignment. Help us. Help these people who have their hands up to not just make the commitment, to follow through. And Father, I thank you. You will speak to them tomorrow. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.